Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you all. Ramadan Mubarak. Welcome to Elevated Places, brought to you by EPN, Elevated Places Network. I am so pleased to be here with you. I am your host, Sister Ava Muhammad. My co-host is Brother Terrence Muhammad, our executive producer. Is Sister Rona Muhammad, and we are joined tonight, as always, and we have a special presentation from her, Sister Pamela Muhammad, our attorney and legal contributor. There is so much for us to handle, and it's a sign of the times, all that we have in front of us. And, of course, we're going to come tonight from the pages of the final newspaper, as well as those subjects that are attendant to what is actually in the paper. But those of us on the Elevated Places team have been deeply affected, not only by the increase of the police shootings during and after the Floyd trial, but the increase in the killings of our children, black and Latino children being killed by the police, but also black children dying at the hands of young black people who engage in these unnecessary conflicts. And of course, you know, it just brings to my mind, Brother Terrence, the fact that one of the things Minister Farrakhan has taught us on very thoroughly is resolution of conflict. And this is something we learn in the Nation of Islam through our classes, through our self-improvement course, and even in the faith itself. People will have conflict. There's no question about it. The issue is how do you resolve it? And so as a result of our failure to learn how to do that, and because we continue to live under these violent people in this nation of white supremacy, we are settling minor differences by taking one another's lives. And now the disregard, the depraved indifference toward human life has gotten to the point where we're killing babies and little girls and toddlers. This is an outrage, and we have to stop this. So we're going to deal with that tonight. Makia Bryant, who was shot 4 times and killed by the very police that she called to help her. She was in a foster home. Sister Attorney Pamela is going to address that as well this evening. So, and of course, we want tonight to have our callers weigh in. And we're going to, at this point, Brother Terrence, I'm going to give the microphone to you.
All right. Mic has been passed. Praise be to Allah. Okay. As-salamu alaykum and Ramadan Mubarak to all that are listening and participating in this wonderful Thursday night that we are always looking forward to and excited. And I got a lot down on my list, so I got to go quickly. And some of you all are going to help me with part of this list because I just forgot to write down somebody's name, but we're going to get through it. So once again, we're here,
yes.
And we always want to encourage everybody to continue to hear and listen to the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And just know that he may be off of Instagram and Facebook, but he is back on Twitter. We want to make sure that you are following the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on Twitter. Minister Louis, so we want to make sure that you are tweeting and getting all of the latest tweets from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and continue to listen and pay attention to the criterion from July 4th, 2020. But there is so much going on, and we are just the minister. We could do a whole series just off the minister and just talking about his love,
yes.
The beauty of him. And it just amazed me, Dr. Ava, because, you know, there's a lot of things. I'll just say this. There's enough in the public eye that everybody can Google and see for you to just fall in love with the minister. There's enough in the public eye. But those that are blessed to see the private eye, we are not seeing anything different, but we're seeing a deeper love. So when you fall in love with what you see in the public eye, we fall in deeper in love with the private life, because it gets so much sweeter and richer to know the things that he's doing for us personally and us as a people that you do not even have a clue. So when we talked about the personification of love, let me just say, Minister Farrakhan is that. And I start off that cause we want to make sure that it was a blessing if you have not seen his words and his things that he spoke about good brother DMX Earl Simmons. If you didn't hear his words this past Sunday, you can Google it, YouTube, go to NOI.org and hear the beautiful words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And we saw the outpouring of love and people saying, man, him preaching Jesus. People was loving it. The audience was loving it. It was overwhelming. And then the part of the information I forgot, the brother's name from Shark Tank, that was like he was overwhelmed by the words of Minister Farrakhan, that he was like, wow. But quickly, Dr. Ava had to pull it back, had to recant, had to go with his head tucked
Come
between
on now.
His legs, and bow down like a good old Negro and sit down, because he couldn't just say a good word about Minister Farrakhan's word about our brother, DMX. That is crazy. Shout out to all of the mighty FOI in New York and the surrounding areas in New Jersey that came out to make sure the gift that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan sent into New York, a gift of love of the Final Call newspaper with our brother on the front cover, DX, to give out to our brothers and sisters so they can have another gift from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Thanks. Shout out to Brother John Enoch and all that he's coordinated. And shout out to Busta Rhymes and being there with the FOI. Shout out to Swiss Beats. Like I said, y'all, it's so much. And know that the hip-hop community loves the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Y'all don't understand.
Yes.
They love the minister. They come see the minister. They call the minister. They talk to the minister. They love the minister. Just to let y'all know that. And you already know what Busta Rhymes did with his song, Master Farouk Muhammad. But we're going to move on. Then we want to make sure that you come back tomorrow, because we're giving you a lot right now. But come back tomorrow at 730noi.org, and make sure you get this profound study group. It's nothing like it when you come and vibe with one another and then get that powerful message back on Sunday at 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern on, you know, we're doing this is NOI.org. People just blowing me up with this information. You know, oh, yeah, somebody just threw out there, my brother from the Shark Tank, he's so fortunate to have a Jewish stepfather. But I think we're talking about the same person. But we're going to move on. But also, check us out on check us out on Wednesday night also at 7:30, NOI.org. We're trying to get all the NOI.org out. But I told y'all stop. I mean, look, I'm not going to tell y'all no more, and I'm going to stop saying it, and I'm going to let y'all miss it. And if y'all miss it, that's on y'all. But if y'all don't go to MinisterAva.com, y'all better do that now. Those that are listening online, y'all can pull up another tab. Go to MinisterAva.com, because you know why? Something's getting ready to drop. I'm letting y'all know now, something else is getting ready to drop on MinisterAva.com. And it is another, say it with me, another ebook that's coming out. And it is called Life in the New Millennium, What We Will Eat and Think. Life in the New Millennium, What We Will Eat and Think. Man, good gracious. We ain't going to eat all that other stuff, but we're going to eat some good stuff. And we're going to have some good thoughts that's going to produce a new reality. So all that's going on. And as I was talking about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, he dropped something on us on Sunday. But guess what, y'all? If you go to Twitter, he dropped something on us today. He dropped something on us today about how you should view him and see him after he said some words at our sister's funeral today. And the minister, man, y'all think that he's just all over here. Yes, I'm this and I'm that. No, he doesn't know. All he does is deliver the word of God, because he is a guided man, and he waits for us to tell him what the people say. Because he doesn't stay around and say, what they say. He wants to know. We got to tell him that the people love him and it amazes
That's
him.
Right.
And it is a beautiful thing to see him light up when he hears the reports of the outpouring of love for him, because he's not doing it for the hand claps. He's not doing it for the fame. He's doing it out of his deep love for us. And I love that about the minister. So go to his Twitter and see what we release. Go to Brother Abdul Rasul, formerly Brother Fontaine, on his Facebook page and hear what the minister said today. I don't care if it's 2 minutes. Anytime the minister speaks, you stop, you pause, and you listen. So go check that out. So Dr. Ava, we're now, and by the time of our next show next week, we'll be in the last 10 days. On Monday, we'll be starting the last 10 days of our 30-day fast of Ramadan. So we'll be in that blessed time. We're in that time of forgiveness now. We already went through the first 10 days of mercy.
Yes.
It's a beautiful thing. And on this Sunday, there's going to be a march in Elizabeth City, North Carolina, for our brother Andrew Ford Jr., who was killed, and his funeral is on Monday.
Yes.
Al Sharpton will be delivering that. They did arrest people accused of killing and murdering our brother, Ahmaud Arbery. So that has happened this week. But then, Dr. Ava, I just saw something close to Boone, North Carolina that just happened today. There was a standoff today, and they haven't made no mug shot. They haven't put no face up yet. But the people that was killed was a mother and a father and two other sheriff, a K-9 officer, and a sergeant officer got killed.
What?
And they said the person who did it killed himself. And all these folks that got killed, and the place where they got killed was a bunch of white folks. So two cops killed. The mother and father got killed, and the person who did all this killed himself. So all that's going on while there's a standoff at Giuliani's house in New York because they're trying to come get him. Man, look, I'm just saying this.
Raided his apartment and his office.
Raided his stuff. So the fall of America is real. So go get your biblical books called Message to the Black Man, Fall of America, Our Savior Has Arrived, and How to Eat to Live, Book 1 and 2, so you can see all of the current news that was already foretold. Go to store.finalcall.com, store.finalcall.com, and get your digital copy of the Final Call newspaper at finalcalldigital.com, finalcalldigital.com. So, that's just my list for right now. Oh, Dr. Ava, I talked about one Negro. I got to mention the other Negro from last night, Tim Scott. How did I forget about Tim Scott after President Biden made his speech? Tim Scott, all the names of people that we know have been killed, this Negro is going to talk about America. There's always 1, 2, 3, and 4 somewhere lurking around, ready to pop out to be a Negro. And I don't understand why they are popping out to be this fabulous Negro. Sit down, be quiet, and just don't say nothing. I think, Dr. Ava, I think we need to bring that letter back out that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan put in Final Call newspaper. Stand down.
Stand down.
Don't say nothing. Stand down.
Yeah, just have a seat. You're too scared. Just have a seat.
Yeah,
they can't
if you're
do
so
it.
punctified, just sit down. If you're so weak, need to go eat some Wheaties, get your vitamins, because you're so weak and you're cowering to your enemy or your oppressor or your slave master. Sit down. Just stand down. Let the enemy come out. We can deal with him. The minister can deal with Satan. He is God's representative to not only black people, to the world. But, okay, let me get off my Baptist Muslim preaching because it's elevated places.
I love it.
And it is that time. It's Thursday night, so I know the callers are hyped. I know y'all ready. So I'm going to turn
they
it right
are.
Back over to you,
ready.
Dr. Ava, because it's so much. And I know I miss so much that is going on throughout this world. But I will close with one more time. If you haven't looked at them, if you haven't heard them, if you don't even know about them, go find out as much as you can. Drink from the fountain of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And there's a picture circulating now on social media of a clear, beautiful picture of him from Sunday. Just look at him.
Yes, sir.
If that doesn't tell you
that's
something,
right.
I don't know what will. Back to you, Dr.
That's
Ava.
Right. Thank you. Excellent. Excellent. Well, at this time, there's just so much happening, and Elevated Places is the place to come where you can put these things together and
right.
understand them. And we're blessed to have such a brilliant and thoughtful legal contributor in Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad. And so without any further ado, I'm bringing to the mic my beloved sister, Pamela Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, ma'am.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Dr. Ava, and all praises are due to Allah. Thank you for having me on your show and greetings to you as well, Brother Taryn. Yes, yes, ma'am. So, we want to get... Yeah, I definitely believe that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's address at DMX's funeral, our brother, was so beautiful, and it just shows the love that the minister has for all of our people and the special insight he has, especially with the youth, because I often say that it was the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan who, when I began to practice law in 1990 and saw the attack on our youth and the scapegoating of black children who were being herded into these juvenile justice systems in the form of a criminal, being accused of criminal acts, removed from their homes, it was the minister who reminded me in some of his writings about how Jesus looked at the needs of children, and this is what we must do because our future is absolutely at stake with the killing of our children. And we had the tragedy of Micaiah Bryant, who was murdered by Nicholas Reardon in Columbus, Ohio. And as everyone knows, as this story has unfolded, our sister, Micaiah Bryant, was in foster care at the time she was murdered, which means, like the George, Chauvin, the officer that killed our brother George Floyd, she was in custody. She had been removed from her home, and as one of those police officers testified, when you take a person into custody, then you have the responsibility to take care of them. And it is obvious that our sister, our baby, was not being taken care of. And thus we saw the tragic killing, murder by this police officer who everyone is talking about whether or not excessive force was warranted, and I absolutely, unequivocally will say I don't believe that for 1 minute. That is just something that, of course, he's going to say. So it's like saying I was in fear for my life. This officer was a marksman. He was a trained marksman. Military out of the National Guard is what the articles are saying. So he knew how to shoot a gun. He could have shot her in the foot if he had to, because this is my understanding, that's what marksmen do. So to shoot this child four times and murder her as soon as he drove up on the scene, that is just inexcusable, and it is a lynching. This is what I believe, and as I looked in the Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews, that book two, it talked about lynching, as we talked about it before, but these are ritualized community murders masquerading as crime fighting. And they have a three-part strategy, which is number one, to instill terror into blacks, reinforce to black people the role as plantation laborers, and to eliminate successful political active blacks. And so this is what we saw with the killing of this child. She was murdered, Sister Ava. This is what I believe. And it really is, it is shining light on this demonic foster care system, which I've just been shocked and appalled, and just believing that, you know, it is the one of the biggest bastions of child sex trafficking, breaking up our families, the ruining of children, because children, when they're coming, many of the children, unfortunately, that are coming into these foster systems, many times they are aging out and being put into homeless situations after being taken from their families. Many of them are being sexually assaulted in these foster care systems. Many of them are being, murdered. Only 3% are actually being college educated, are some of the statistics that we're seeing. So what are we saying? You know, I'm saying that, yes, sometimes families are in crisis. We understand that. But black people oftentimes are actually, the allegations that bring their children into foster care is oftentimes neglect. It's not so much the abusive, where you're starving a child or you're burning them with. You know, that is something that we're seeing more and more now, because our people are becoming savage as a result of being exposed to this devil. You know, but most of the time it's poverty related. So oftentimes when these children are brought into foster care, you know, their parents, like in this instance, now Micaiah Bryant, It has occurred, and the investigation is showing that this girl had numerous family members. She had a mother. She had a aunt, Hazel Bryant. She had a grandmother, Janine Hammond. She had a great-grandmother, Ilya Bryant. She had a cousin by the name of Don Bryant. These are adults. She had a father. She even had a great-grandmother. I think I said that, but it's not so often that you see so many layers in the Black community of family units. So, nobody could take her. But see, what happens, is what's at the root of the problem, when this system seizes these children from their homes, they take ownership of the children. We have a theory in law called parents patriae, which means that when these children are coming into these court systems, the wicked system, the court system, the judges, the caseworkers, not even a lot of times are these even qualified social workers, they're making these decisions. So if they want to look down on the family and say, none of you all are worthy, then this is what they do. And then you go into this long process of holding these children without due process of law, because everybody has to get a piece of our children at this point. You know, so the child ends up being murdered because of failure to protect her. But a lot of times the children are then passed around because money is being made off of them. You know, and again, you don't have any say as a family member, because you don't have a say until the court gives you a say, and a lot of times those decisions are biased. Mm. They're based on racism. They're based on greed. They're based upon how these grants fund these counties. And so, therefore, the holding of our children without due process and equal protection of law is really something that we're looking at, Sister Dr. Ava. And, you know, again, it ended so tragically in this case. Mm-hmm. You know, because again, Black children are protected by a system that does not like them. Race is a factor that influences decisions at every step of these cases. 45% of children in foster care are Black a lot of times, and that's an old stat. It's probably more than that. But again, we only make up 13% of the population oftentimes.
Of the population.
So how is it, you know, that it's so high? So we have in Micaiah Bryant's case, her mom did get an attorney, and her attorney made the announcement. They're going to, and she said that we will proceed with investigations beyond the shooting. She said, you know, she's pushing. That's what they're pushing for, because she's bringing to the light that all the systems failed her. Because as we know, they're saying that there was a 911 call that this child is recorded, or some child is recorded saying that they're trying to fight to stab us, some grown women. And we know that the women that we're seeing on the screen were in their 20s, and she was only 16 years old. Well, again, if she's in custody, state custody, what are these non-family members, non-authorized people even doing in her presence? You know, why is she in danger? And she's in state custody. You know, this is because there's neglectful, and as I think one author quoted W.E.B. Du Bois, he said that nobody cares about Black children. Nobody cares about Black children.
That's
and it
right.
should be noted that the same time this child was killed, Micaiah Bryant, this was the same month, few weeks earlier, Dante Wright, he's 20 years old, he's murdered. Adam Toledo, he's 13 years old, he's murdered. Anthony Thompson, he's 17 years old, he's murdered. And this
That's
is
right.
at the hands of the government that we pay taxes to. So it says research shows that Black children are 6 times more likely to be shot to death by the police than their white peers. And 93% of these killings are boys. You know, so again, folks saying, should they have used a taser? Should yes, he should have used something. Killing this child was really, and it was so disrespectful, because even when you hear the conversation, this girl was a child. They act like she was some grown, you know, really person, mature, who had all of her ability to make the best decisions. She's already, you got to understand, they talk about how when these children are removed from families, this is kidnapping. And this, or at least this is what the children definitely perceive. And so there's a lot of anger. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of pain.
Fear.
And then you're actually being confronted, you know, with possible, in this instance, maybe they were trying to stab her. I mean, I don't know that, but it's just they had no business there. So we're looking at sexual abuse in foster care. Our children are 4 times higher than the rate in the general population. And so this is, again, oftentimes we know that our children are being brought in and they end up being sexually abused or they end up being sexually trafficked. Well, this time, because of these bad decisions, because of the callousness and the removal of black children, you know, the kidnapping of black children, you just throw this child out where she ends up being murdered by this savagery. Because this was just outright savagery, Sister Dr. Ava, that this officer drove up and shot this girl 4 times. You know,
four times.
So it's just a lot that has to be stopped, and we have to look at it. You know, and one of the things I think of note is that in this particular county in Ohio, I believe it's called Franklin County.
Yes, it's
the death rates. Yeah, they're saying study found that they just have a really high rate of police killings. The Ohio county where a 16-year-old girl was shot has the deadliest rate of police shooting fatalities, a study showed. And so this project said that between 2015 and 2020, from January 2015 to December 2020, the study revealed that there were 169 fatalities in the state of Ohio, and that African-American deaths, and this is such a big number, but they're saying per million, they're saying that it's 339% higher than white fatalities. Does that make
sense?
And so it's like, whereas this Franklin County has 20% of Ohio's black population, they accounted for 33% of Ohio's African-American police intervention fatalities. And so, you know, and so my concern for today as we talk about, because one of the things about the secret relationship quote where I was talking about how lynchings occurred, well, one of the reasons why they killed us too is because, as quoted in the book, the white people, they don't really fear dishonesty in black people. They don't fear ignorance. They don't fear incompetency. What they fear is Negro honesty, knowledge, and efficiency in black people. That was what, according, that's a quote from W.E.B. Du Bois in The Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews. But, and so for me, it really made me look at Val Demings, who is the person who is in the politics. She is the former chief, I think, down out of Florida, who is now a spokesperson, like a legislator that they have speaking. And she actually, you know, she did feel that this officer, she was on Face the Nation, and she said that the officer, he did what he was trained to do. So she kind of gave him that out by saying, you know, training, this is training, even though it's tragic. And it's kind of like, well, is he a robot? Because if he's not a human being and doesn't have the ability to adapt to the circumstances and the events, you know, then we could say that you just do what, you know, oh, my God, that's shooting someone in the chest 4 times. As soon as I get out the car, that's just a knee jerk. What, you know, that So for this is what the black woman said. Right, some kind of, yes, ma'am. So this is what she had to say about the murder of our sister.
Oh, my God.
You know, and so the removal of black children has to really be looked at, because the parents, again, they're oftentimes in crisis. The families are oftentimes very vulnerable, and they're not able to speak. The families are fragile, and, you know, the cards are often against them, many of who are abused themselves. I mean, sometimes you even – and a lot of why children are removed is based upon surveillance, unlawful surveillance, and then interpretation as to what constitutes necessity. And so all of that is being put in the hands of people who don't like us, who have ulterior motives. And then this girl, Miss Bryant, our little sister Bryant, Micaiah, you know, there have been other complaints from this foster care home. They're saying in one article that she called complaining, asking for help, maybe May 28th, she or her little sister, Janaya, who was also there. And nothing happened. We see that because there's, you know, she was still there. She was still targeted. And ultimately, nobody cared. So her life was taken. But it reminds me of the story of the Hart children. And if everybody remembers how those Hart children were murdered when the two women who were married, the two white women, who were lesbians, and they drove off the cliff with these children in their car. And those children came out of Houston. They came out of Houston. And again, when we're talking about reasons to take children, this interpretation, these lies, these justifications that they come up with to take our children, well, the Hart children, they had an auntie who wanted them, because this is what we're talking about. We're talking about kinship placement. We're talking about the extended family that black people have, you know, relied on since we've been here. And we can take care of our own. We don't need y'all coming in snatching our children, because, again, you're up to no good. You want to lynch them. But the point is that the Hart children, the aunt, she had prepared her home to keep the children. And after being monitored by this white attorney, you know, these guardians, these people who are making money, getting paid money based upon how many children they're bringing in, how many hours they can put in, well, he ultimately made the decision that this aunt was not qualified to keep her nieces and nephews because her carpet was dirty. So
they removed the children.
Yes, the carpet was dirty, and I also believe, yeah, that was one of the allegations for sure. And so then the children end up getting placed with this white couple who, it's my understanding that the children were starving. One of the children was starving, and she ran to a neighbor's house because they had these children up in some Seattle or some place where, you know, off into themselves in the woods somewhere. And they ran seeking help for the next door neighbor, and the child looked like she was malnourished, but they just took them back. You know, doctors will see evidence of abuse, is my understanding. In that Hart case, they were able to see the children maybe having bruises or being starving, but they returned those children back to those white people. You know, and ultimately they were murdered.
A
lesbian couple. You know, so these are the ultimately the outcomes with our children being snatched from us, just as in slavery. They're being snatched out of our arms and put into harm's way under the pretext of wanting to protect them. This is what y'all are, you know, this is what you're telling us. We're not capable. You know, so I hope that I added some background to what this little girl might have been going through, and the context in which we have to look at this case. I absolutely believe that this officer should be charged with murder and that the Department of Justice needs to charge the whole police department and anybody who comes up with some type of justification for why he shot a 16-year-old black child 4 times in the chest who was in state custody to begin with. So, you know, that's my take. And so thank you, Sister Ava, for the time.
Oh, this has been magnificent.
Fire.
Wow.
All praise to Allah. All praises to Allah.
I mean, it's mortifying, but it's so revelatory. It's, you know, I'm thinking as you're sharing these things, what, you know, Brother Terrence Allah said, if it's under a rock, I will bring it forth, that we're in the time of how Allah shows us through our own brothers and sisters who he has placed in various aspects of life and in this society that are fighting for us, like Sister Attorney Pamela. She's fighting for children and young people and the depth of her knowledge, because I just, through you, Sister Pamela, you're showing the listeners how this web of deceit and wickedness. And, you know, I just keep thinking of what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. We cannot fathom the depths of Satan.
Yes, ma'am. All praises are due to Allah. And you know what, Sister Ava, just the last thing, you know, the current climate that we're in, where we have this, I believe it's $339 million or billion dollars being offered for child care, some large sum in terms of some family act. You know what, it reminds me of the No Child Left Behind. It reminds me of, you know, all of these war on drugs, whatever it is, that leaves our people in a worse condition than what they found it. So people better be very careful about placing their children in these facilities, taking this money, because they're still trying to vaccinate these children. They want to get to these children. They want custody of the children, because once they get custody of the children, you may have a very difficult time getting your child back. So be careful, and don't, we got to look at what is being, you know, offered, right, if ever, with this, we just want to help black children. And they don't even like black children. They don't even like black people. That's the thing.
They can't stand with contempt. And, you know, they create problems.
Yes, ma'am.
They create a problem and then manufacture a solution to it.
Right, right.
You know, like you said earlier about neglect, you know, what makes it so that I have to leave the house and leave my children? You know, the practical reality of taking your children everywhere, every time you go.
Yes, ma'am.
I remember a few years ago, my husband and I went off. There was a news story. These little white girls, they were either twins or very close in age. I think they were like 1 and 2 or 2 and 3. And they wandered. Now look at this. They're young. They, quote, wandered out of the house. And the parents at some point discovered they were not in bed in their room, called the police, and there was this all out, all hands on deck, everybody living, look for these children. And then they found them, and they put them back in the arms of their parents. And the whole story was about how hard the police worked, how hard the neighbors, the unity of the town. Not once was anything said about how did some children this young get out of the house. And no, I mean, this is more than a double standard. This is extreme. These are extreme opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yes, ma'am. Yes. And like you said, Sister Ava, in those instances, black people are not offered in-home services. Like in an instance like that, if you want to come in the house and perhaps, you know, we can strengthen your family unit. So that's what you want to do, you want to protect. But instead, we're removed. Our children are removed from their homes, barred from seeing their parents, except under these, you know, glass door kind of scenarios where you're being observed through the looking glass like some, you know, and then you're ultimately, you're terminated. And don't get me wrong, I understand there are people who need to have their rights terminated, and many want to give up their children, and if they do, to loving homes and people who are going to care for them, that's fine. But all too often, you have, like this case, you have like six family members who were probably trying to submit their names to get processed and background checks and approved by courts. And so we're wasting, what is the taxpayer's dollar doing in these instances if not strengthening families? Because that's not the purpose. And so this is why this child was murdered by this
and you're right. It's not the purpose, because if the best interest of the child was the purpose, the first thing you would do is exhaust the relatives, what you just said.
That's right. Yes, ma'am.
You would contact the family members and see if anyone is able and willing. Then the neighbors. You would make an effort to minimize the trauma to the child.
Right.
Because
right.
Children, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught, children love their parents.
That's right.
And in slavery, We tried to hold on to our children even though we didn't have nothing to offer them. But what
that's
we
right,
did have was
right.
ourselves. Because that's the number one thing a child needs, is to be with his or her parents. A child
that's
is
right.
happier in a tent with his natural family than in a mansion with some lesbian devils.
That's right.
That's right.
Trust and believe.
Yes,
if you ask them.
Yes, ma'am.
And you're right.
That's
it's
right.
a kidnapping. And the minister
and
said, what do? They make mischief by means of the law. Yeah, go ahead, Brother Chan.
That's right.
No, because you're right. And it's very, you know, what Sister Pamela laid out, Attorney Pamela laid out, was very key. She listed a list of names. And here's the deep part about what she listed out, as you just stated, Dr. Ava, you go look for the other family members and if they're willing. So there's a dual dynamic. The dynamic is you, this is the list of family members, and you mean to tell me all of them didn't want to take it and wasn't able? So then that just tells you, like, when the mother and father broke down, then the extended family, you no one that you can give to your family. That's what you're saying about the family? And if that is true, then we have some work to do to repair the family, that to the fact that you can't,
amen,
the extended family is broken down, if the immediate family is broken down, that you can't go to grandma, you can't go to auntie. I know many people that said, well, I was raised by my grandmother because she raised me, my
that's
mom
right.
and dad, or they were doing
oh,
this,
my,
or my aunt raised
people.
Me.
My
we,
auntie.
That's our
right.
history. So I don't understand
right.
how after Sister Pamela read all these names that there was no one available to take their own family members.
I don't believe
and,
it.
And then at the same time that I forgot that Benjamin Crump and some other people with National Action Network, they actually went to Congress today to meet with some Democratic and Republican lawmakers on Capitol Hill. They took the family of George Floyd, Eric Garner, Terrence Crutcher, Bachman, Gene, and they went and met, and they even met with Tim Scott today. And it's, you know, they're there to talk about police reform. And we understand there is no reform in these people and trying to pass the George Floyd Justice in Police in that. And so they're still going to the way of the halls of the Capitol Hill, halls of Congress. And I understand that move, and I understand because I'm in those worlds. But the reality is that even on the basic level with Sister Pam and what you all are talking about, we can't even get them to just give the child back to the family. You know,
right.
And having
right.
a good family structure. Because all of the stuff that she listed, if we understand that that's going on, they snatching up children from home, displacing children, putting them over here, and knowing all of this stuff is going on, then of course we're going to see the outcomes that we're looking at. We're going to see more
exactly.
of that. And that's why the minister's word should not fall on deaf ear. We should make our communities a safe and decent place
decent
to live.
Place.
What does that mean
right.
when he said that? We sometimes need just the gun violence, but what makes a safe and decent community? Decent homes,
right.
decent families,
come
decent
on.
Structures
come on.
In that community. So you may not have gunfire, but you have domestic violence in the house. You have all these issues in the homes. So we have to make our whole community not, as the minister always talked, is not necessarily, as I heard a lecture talking about, not last night, I think. Not the Jews circumcised from the foreskin, but circumcised from the heart. So it's not just cleaning up the community on the outside with cutting the grass and painting, but what are we doing to clean up the people in the homes of these communities to
That's
make them
correct.
Decent and safe?
That's right.
And you know, to
yep.
your point, Brother Terrence, and this takes us full circle back to where we all have to bow down to the coming of God and the truth he put in his messenger Messiah. You know,
That's
the Honorable
right.
Elijah Muhammad and now Minister Louis Farrakhan. See, there's no other solution to this problem. Because
That's
the
right.
other thing Sister Pamela brought out is surveillance, because that's what my mind always goes to. How do these people get their hands on us in the first place? This is what we have to get to the root of. And as you
right.
all know, I'm always talking about the animal kingdom and the fish and all the wildlife, and how there's no such thing as you going up in their herd or their school of fish and taking a baby and coming out alive.
Come on.
You're not going to reach in no hive and grab no baby bee. Okay? It's not going to happen. You're going to get stung to death. All right?
Yes,
and
ma'am.
So
that's right.
We have been made, you know, the teachings are so awesome. We have been made what? Other than ourselves. That's what's at the root of this. Because as you all are saying, this isn't who we are. Yeah, when I was growing up, there was no such thing as this.
Hmm.
You know, if somebody gets pregnant and has a baby, going back to Brother Terrence, how many people do we know? My grandmother raised me.
That's right.
My aunt and uncle, they sent me down to Mississippi. You know, I started acting crazy. They sent me down to my aunt and uncle in Mississippi. We didn't call no police. We
That's
handled
right.
it within our. You think Jews don't have children that are drug addicts? You think Asians don't have children that get addicted to drugs? You don't think they have out of wedlock children among other ethnic groups? But you don't know about it because it's handled within the family circle. It's,
right.
it's counterintuitive for me to call a stranger to come and take one of my blood. It's not even in your nature. So for this to be happening is because we're other than ourselves. And if the minister gave us what you just quoted, the perfect solution, which is actually step one in the separation process, because if we close ranks in our neighborhood,
that's right,
and we have designated persons, you know, we talk all the time about the men and the male teenagers with all these hormones, you know, you need to be the protectors. That's what Brother Cartier is talking about. We need a certain type of law. We have a different type of law enforcement we need, because this is not law enforcement. It's what you just said, Sister Pamela. They're just murdering us.
Yes, ma'am.
They're lynching us under the canopy of law enforcement.
That's right. Yes, ma'am.
They're using law enforcement. They make mischief by means of the law. And the way to stop it is to close the vacuum that they're stepping into.
That's right.
Number one, we have got to stop calling the police. We got to stop these strange foreign people with these little funky convenience stores who call the police on us.
Yes, ma'am.
That's why George Floyd is 6 feet under the ground right now after being tortured.
Right.
You think they would call the police on a white person? Somebody hands you a counterfeit bill, then you give it back.
Period.
You can't take it.
Period.
Just like they'll tell you, Your credit card has been declined.
Been declined, right. Exactly.
It's over the limit.
That's right.
So you got to walk away from the checkout without your stuff. You don't call the police on a white woman who just brought $1,000 worth of perfume to the counter and her card didn't run through. You actually, ma'am, I'm so sorry. What do you mean it declined? I don't know. I'm sorry. We're not going to be. But with this brother, police, and as the minister said, instead of a mob, now it's backup.
That's
and
right.
Just like they did with Tamir Rice, the woman that called the police. But why are you calling? See, and that was the devil. But even she had the presence of mind to say, it's probably fake. That's what the caller said when they called 911. And they claim, because, again, hating black children, because Tamir was 5'7". And weighed well into the hundreds. Oh, we didn't know he was a child. You a liar.
That's right. Yes, ma'am.
You knew it was, like, y'all don't have big children.
Yeah.
You don't have some That's big right. children. You sound crazy. That boy's face was as young looking as my 5-year-old grandson. He had a baby face.
That's right.
And he was sitting there by himself doing nothing wrong. He actually gave away his cell phone in exchange for this toy rifle. But in the wisdom of knowing the environment we're in, this is why we're taught, don't carry a gun, don't possess a gun, don't have a gun in your house, in your purse, in your locker, nowhere, at no time. And that is known about us. But anyway, this is so, this is deep here.
Yeah, it is. So let me bring some joy back to your life, Dr. Ava, because
yes,
one of these one of the things I forgot to say at the top of the hour, but Nana, we got all the callers and everybody logged in and everybody, we can just announce today that person who sits in the cut sits over there in the back, but is always maneuvering and making sure that everything runs so smooth here on Elevated Places. I believe that somebody by the name of Sister Rona, great announcement. I think it's her birthday today. We just wanted to shout out Sister Rona on her birthday today. Just made some folks smile over there.
Right.
And I hope she don't text me and say, hush, Brother Terrence, but yeah, we're going to let her know that happy birthday on
elevated places, and we so happy as part of this.
Happy birthday, Sister Rona.
That's right. Our beloved Sister Rona. We thank Allah for her mother and father and to give us such a jewel.
That's right.
And I know her
parents
thank Allah very much. Oh, happy, happy, happy birthday, Sister Rona.
And you know what, Sister Rona, no
logical elevated places. But go ahead. Yes, ma'am.
No. You're right. But she's actually helping us understand with all of the ventures, all of the different things that she's doing. She's living her best life right now. She's showing us a little example of the new ebook that's coming out, Life in the New Millennium, right? What we will eat and think.
So she was giving us a little example.
There we go. So she's doing the Life in the New Millennium.
That's an excellent
y'all
point.
Y'all check that ebook out, MinisterAva.com. That's right.
Right.
It's a mindset. It's a mindset. I said new way of life, right? You gotta if you want real love, you gotta have a new way of life, and you gotta have a right measurement, a unit of measurement in this, right? Come on now. That will give you the force and power of being. Come on now. Talk to me with these books. If y'all didn't catch all that, go to MinisterAva.com and look at the books that she has. That's right, published author.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, on that happy note, we're going to get to our callers. And let's start with Brother Daryl.
Ramadan Kareem. How's everybody?
Yes, sir. Fine by the grace of Allah, sir.
Praise be to Allah. Yes, I was just sitting back, just listening to how this killing is still going on, like what our attorney, Sister Pamela, was speaking about, how they are this study killing our children and our babies. And they said about our sister that was in foster care, we experienced it with a loved one, and it is a tradition of black people, like or whatever, get in problems with the family. They either send them down south to the grandparents or to an aunt. You have a variety of family that would take our loved ones. And we had an incident that my cousin, she got on drugs, and we ended up, my mother had the two girls. She had seven, but they were split up except for the last two. And my mother took care of them, did their hair and everything, kept them clean. And they end up, neighbor or somebody called in. They came and got the children. We end up getting the children in our custody, and they came and seen the house, and they could see that we're Muslims. Oh, the house is clean. That's the way we were taught, you know. Only thing that it was, like Sister said, they mentioned about a carpet dirty. This case, the house was in mint condition. Only thing it was, I had turned the attic into a master bedroom. So all to get upstairs, you have to let the ladder down from the ceiling. And they told us we have to mount them to the floor. I said, you can't mount them to the floor because it'd be in front of our refrigerator. Don't you know they took those two children out of our home and placed them in a foster care. They got raped. They are in their 20s, late 20s now. They just destroyed our family, you know. So this is what's going on with our children. But our sister that got shot four times, like you said, he was a marksman, and they said she had a knife on someone else, but they said there was so much chaos going, it was another young man stomping and kicking a sister. They didn't say that on the ground, so they said it was so much going on at one time, but that still didn't give them the right to shoot their sister four times. So this is going on, and then the two more brothers had the same last name, but they're not related. The one that they shot in the back of the head, execution style, then a few days later, another brother got shot in the driveway 10 times. He's fighting for his life now. So this thing is getting out of control. It is out of control. And we have to come together quick to save her. And like Mr. said, we need the 10,000 fearless out here more than ever. We have to police our own, because you call these police, you're calling death to your house. These are racist, Klansmen, and all of that. But right quick, they were speaking about what happened over in, not Turkey, but it's a Muslim country, where they had the whole hospital was full of COVID patients, elderly mostly. And some mysteriously, they claim an oxygen tank blew up. And it sounded like what happened with the Capitol. They took over half an hour to get there, the fire trucks and everything, because they knew that it was the Muslims, you know. And when they got there, it was people was jumping out the window. And some people said it took so long before they came. Some family was trying to go into the hospital, and another explosion went off. They said it sounded suspicious. Sound like suspicious on everything that dealing with Muslims and the Muslim countries. They dragged their feet. They moved slow. So I think it was a genocide because they said the hospital was full of COVID patients. So this is what's going on. And one more thing, they just said that it's unraveling America. This just came on the news. I don't know if you heard it. It's supposed to be a new group now that tapped into the system, and they call themselves the Boomer or something like that, some old crazy name. But they said they asked Washington, D.C. for a ransom. They didn't say how much, but they said if they don't get it in 72 hours, they're going to expose the government. What's going on with the police and what's going on in Washington, D.C. I don't know if you heard about it, but here it is, what goes around, come around. You're doing so much evil. Now the evil is coming back on you, and they're talking about disposing this government in 72 hours. As-salamu alaykum.
Well, alaykum salam. Wow.
Yes, sir.
Well, I think we need to, before we continue with our callers, I think hopefully we can have a word with our executive producer.
Come on,
assalamu alaikum.
Well, I don't know how she's doing it. She got one fork in his hand, a laptop in his hand, and on the phone. That ain't. I don't know how she do it.
Assalamu alaikum. Can you all hear me?
There she is.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, you can.
I ran through the restaurant. I was like, no, this is Ava, no.
She multitasking, right?
Seriously. Me to Allah. Oh, Allah. Well, assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak, everyone.
Ramadan.
Yes, ma'am. Lots to discuss this evening. We have a full board. I am feeling amazing by Allah's grace. We have a full board. The boys are healthy. We thought we had a COVID scare, so we are doing a lot better. So praise be to Allah.
Whoa, thank Allah. Thank Allah. So it sounds like you're about ready to have a little birthday dinner, so.
Yes, the sun is technically down in Atlanta. So we are ready to break fast.
Yes, you all are Eastern Standard Time. I do.
Yes, ma'am. So I've just had a sip of water. We're doing the show, and
look,
you know, life is going on.
Yes, it is.
But
and
Ramadan has been amazing for me, and I'm grateful to Allah that my birth anniversary is falling this year in the month of Ramadan. It is providing all the clarity that's needed for us to move forward
to do the work.
That is ahead of us, and I'm just looking forward to 2021. And Sister Ava being in Atlanta, so we'll be broadcasting from Elevated Places Network studio. So mark my words, everyone who can hear me. So inshallah or mashallah.
Oh, y'all done said it. Oh, we coming to the A. We coming to
That's right. That's right.
ATL.
And beyond, we
ATL
have
coming full
we
circle.
Have so many places in our schedule.
Come on.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, I'm looking forward
May
and I'm
Allah
ready.
Continue to bless you. Oh, I know,
thank you so
I know
much.
You are.
Yes, yes.
You're the point person on this move.
Absolutely,
well,
I'm getting my real estate license in hand. So yes.
Look at her.
So anyone who's going to need property, we're going to, listen, it's going to be an Elevated Places Networks production.
Yes. And we're going to run down there and start overpopulating some of these communities. And, in fact, I'm glad you mentioned it because we want to let everybody know that on Tuesday night we're going to have a special presentation on elevated places. And we got Brother Cartier holding. I think I'm going to let him give us more of the details. But we want we're going to promote the link. We're going to post the link everywhere possible. But we're going to be on Zoom, Elevated Places Network, on May the 4th to give our first edition of a series on building our promised land, building our promised land. So we're going to have some very special guests who know all about building a community from the ground up. No academics. This is the real deal. It's the real deal.
Absolutely.
So thank you, Sister Rona. We love you so much.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh,
thank you.
Goodness.
I love you more. I love you all more. I thank the whole Elevated Places Network team for all the work that we do, both seen and unseen,
yes,
by Allah's permission. So.
Amen.
All right, back to work.
All right, beloved.
And I hope they're catching it, Dr. Ava. Elevated Places Network. If y'all didn't catch that, it's a network. It is expanding. We're going across
the
country, and we're going global. We're already there. Y'all just didn't know it, but y'all been on the ride. Y'all been transitioning to this global market.
And this Blog Talk Radio here, this is the mother program of the network. But we're about to expand our programming. We're going to be a full-fledged network over the next year or two. We're going to be ranging to everything from hard news, sports, children's programming, cooking, health, everything that you, entertainment, everything that you can think of in life, travel. And we're definitely working on being able at some point to bring a program in from East Africa in Rwanda. Okay?
That's right.
So,
literally.
Yeah, literally, yes. Because our brother and sister out there, they are, oh, my God, they are living. You talk about the hereafter. You talk about the hereafter. And in fact, we're gonna talk later about. I want to share with you all a post Sister Adila sent that she put on Facebook about her experience in Rwanda, what it has done for her health.
Right.
But they've been sending some beautiful pictures of iftar and you know the meals with the brothers and sisters there. It's amazing. It's amazing.
It is.
Okay, so we're gonna keep moving. We can't do Elevated Places without hearing from our dear sister, Sister Ula. Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Kareem. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Loud and clear.
Assalamu alaikum. Yeah, I was wondering, could y'all hear me? I was reading that we're under the slave code, you know. It says in the Masonic order, do not let any high-thinking people in their midst. They want people that are, and then I'm listening to Dr. Aleem. I don't know if you heard this or not, Sister Ava, but he told everybody to look on the internet for what is called the CDC Zombie Protection Plan. He said that according to him, they're planning on whatever they're injecting in these people, they'll be like that movie, Will Smith. Did you see Will Smith, Independence Day, when all them people turned into zombies?
I Am Legend. No, it's I Am Legend.
Oh, that's the name of it. Okay. But you know
the
what I'm talking about.
The movie is I Am Legend.
Right.
Okay. I Am Legend. Okay, but the point I'm trying to bring out is...
It was a vaccine. It was a vaccine.
Yeah. Okay.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying that and it's on the internet. I looked it up, CDC, and I sent it to people. CDC zombie protection plan. It's a whole bunch of websites just dealing with that one issue. And it was written that this was predicted was going to happen 9 years ago. So people that are taking this vaccine, I'm asking you, Sister Ava, do you feel that they are not trustworthy to be around alone with these type of people?
That get vaccinated?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, put it like this. There's a reason there's a Nation of Islam.
Yes, ma'am.
There's a reason that the Holy Quran teaches us that the believers are friends of who? One another.
Of each other. That's right.
And you haven't seen the tip of the iceberg of the depth and breadth of the minister's directive not to take it.
That's right.
It's so much. It's so much worse than we're imagining.
There you go.
And this is the one directive that, if you don't comply, is basically suicidal. That's
there
why he said we will not accept death. mRNA is not a traditional vaccine.
No.
It's genetic manipulation. Even the manufacturer calls it that.
There you go.
Genetic manipulation.
According
your
to
body
my...
is being told to create or the spike protein that makes COVID-19 what it is.
There you go.
So imagine that you're actually doing something suicidal.
There you go.
Because you're putting what we're told is a lethal disease. You're directing yourself. I mean, you're producing this because of a message that was coded in an artificial mRNA.
There
the
you
M
go.
Is for messenger. Messenger.
Oh, okay.
So this is a war between Allah and Satan. This is the last conflict, the final conflict between Allah and Satan. So Allah has a messenger and Satan has a messenger.
No.
And it's the mRNA vaccine, messenger RNA, taking something that exists within us, making an artificial form of it and putting it back into us. And we're lining up. But I
and they talking about they putting fetal cells in it and all that sort of thing.
Well, they're using the Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
Oh, Lord.
They're using aborted fetal tissue.
There you go.
In that. Okay, but I just want to say this. I thank Allah for the minister. Because there was a scientist who had said one of the I saw this, I think they had it on YouTube before they took it down, because that's the other thing going on. This is a totalitarian state now. They will not allow any dissenting view of this vaccine be out in the media. They cut every avenue off to you hearing the other side of this. But I am glad the minister gave it during the criterion on the level that he issued it, so that we understand this is coming from Allah. Because the difference between the mRNA vaccine and all other vaccines, you can get vaccinated and detox over a period of time. You can't do that with mRNA. You can't undo this. You can't undo this. And if you all notice, people that get the vaccination, they're very they're like recruits. They're anxious for other people to do it. You know, mm-hmm. when I was growing up, you didn't even talk about your medical treatment. Like LeBron James said, when they asked him, have you been vaccinated? He says, it's none of your business.
Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've been trying to get on your show, or not the show, but the Friday program. What do I click on to get on?
Oh, do you get the
email?
The email from the National Center?
I'm looking.
The National Center sends out an email every week with study group assignment, and in the assignment there's a link to the Zoom class.
Yeah, I got on there 2 weeks ago, but last week I didn't get on because I don't know what I did. I probably did it right the first time I got a link from the National Center.
And remember, yes, ma'am. But real quick, remember when you are getting on, you have to scroll, when you click to register, you have to scroll down that page because they want your name and city.
Okay.
I mean, anybody can get on because study group's for everybody.
That's right.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Well, I'm looking forward
to
it. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, ma'am. Wa alaikum salam.
And you know, Dr. Ava, the funny thing about something that you said about the vaccination, like everybody, you know, they got, you know, Facebook, they got, you know, you can have your profile pic where it says I'm vaccinated. So everybody can know. And it's it's an overwhelming amount of people. One of my friends who is so pro-vaccination and learning about it, I'm going to take my second, I'm going to do this. But before the vaccination, she was just very meticulous. I'm not going out, my bubble's small. People ain't coming over the house. I ain't going to visit nobody. I'm wearing masks. I'm wearing double masks. I ain't doing nothing. And now I saw that day she took a picture with some folks, and she said, everybody I took a picture with, we're all vaccinated. So it's almost like I'm happy now. I'm vaccinated, so I'm going out. I'm going out doing this. I'm going out doing this. Some people still wearing masks and vaccination, but a lot of people like literally come out, I'm going here. I feel much better than I'm vaccinated, so I'm going to go out. I'm going to do a lot more now. I'm vaccinated. And I'm like
because,
y'all got a sunblock?
Well, because Dr. Fauci is the new god of their world, or the water boy for the synagogue of Satan, and so they do what he says. And the line of demarcation is being drawn between vaccinated versus unvaccinated. This is straight out of what used to be science fiction films, but it's happening in real life. And we're going to have Dr. Leem come back on here and talk about that. But remember what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, Allah will make you separate. We had no idea. Literally, we had no idea this would be the means.
None.
Woo. So, yes, it's some profound. It's absolutely profound. All right, so we're going to Brother Hoyle.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Ramadan
Mubarak, family.
Ramadan Kareem.
Ramadan Kareem.
Oh yes. I just wanted to help Sister Pamela out on another killing I was telling y'all about in Knoxville. They shot a brother, Anthony Thompson Jr., a 17-year-old. I tell you, the mother and the father they lied and said he had a gun. The cop shot himself. And the mother regrets calling the cop because the police just stormed into school and just blew the boy away. They got the footage. Attorney Ben Crumpton. They're protesting it in Knoxville. There's certain killings they're keeping hush-hush. You know, you're getting a lot of coverage. All of our killings should be covered. but I think the one in North Carolina where the brother executed the brother and shot him in the back of the head in North Carolina was another one. That was pure execution. But since y'all talking about the – I got something new. Y'all got to hear this. This is off of Defender, off of Robert Kennedy Jr.'s website. It says parents vaccinated teachers may be transmitting something from their body. And this is from the Defender, the Robert Kennedy's website. It said vaccinated adults may be transmuting something from their bodies that could be impacting the reproductive system, fertility, and normal growth and development in women and children. Leela Center informed the school community. Even among our own population, we have at least 3 women with menstrual cycle impacted after having spent time with vaccinated person. Wow. As a result, the school concluded it is in the best interest of the children to protect them from the unknown implications of being in close proximity for the entire day and who is very very known from people taking the COVID-19 injection. And also here in Metro System, Ava, they're trying to take the mask mandate. They're trying to see how many percentage of the people are vaccinated where the mask will be, they'll take away the mask mandate, and they're promoting the same thing. Go get vaccinated like Brother Terrence was saying. And, you know, we have the big Southern Heritage Classic in Tennessee State and Jackson State. So they're getting the promoter, Fred Jones, say you'll get in the game free. We want to bring back – now, you know, that's mostly black here in Memphis. Memphis is predominantly black city. They're saying you'll get free tickets and come on and get vaccinated so we can get the black game started. So they're probably going to do this to all of these black college games. And, you know, in certain colleges, black colleges, they're not allowing the students to come back. Dr. Lean was saying in Delaware State, I heard in other black colleges, I don't have the names right now, but this, like you said, this is the form of separation, Sister Ava.
The plan is by fall, mm-hmm. Fauci said it this morning, the plan is by fall. Number one, they're going to get this. Mm-hmm. They know the impact of the minister and the nation and those of us out here talking on this thing. Because they have with all the black people getting vaccinated, there's even more who are not. And so they know that one effective argument has been the fact that it's experimental. And it's unauthorized. It's unapproved. It's authorized but unapproved. So Fauci says this morning, they're hopeful that we can go ahead and get this approval. It's on the fast track for approval. Now, but listen to this. In the same conversation, he said in the fall, they're going to start vaccinating children.
Right.
Okay. Well, once they have licensing through the FDA, that's when they're going to tell you, you can't come to school. Your children can't come to school. But why are we still trying to go to school with them? Did we hear Sister Pamela this earlier? And then you're saying they should cover all the deaths, Brother Hoyle. They can't cover all the deaths from the police. You know why? Because homicide is one of the top, in fact, it's the leading cause of death by police of black men. It's either one of the top five or it's in the top five, and it may be number one. But the Washington Post just came out with that on their website. So everybody's running around talking about some COVID, and you got a police vaccination?
Come on now. Come on. That's it. There it is.
Sister Ava, that's a national emergency. And that's a separation. One more thing. I was listening to Dr. Lim on his show about a couple of days ago, and he said these vaccinated people will become super spreaders. He said super spreaders. And, you know, he didn't go into much into the – that is on the zombie apocalypse. That's on that website, on the CDC website. But
you're right. Did you notice that – do you notice that as the vaccinations increase, now they're talking about all these cases? How are the cases going up?
Mm-hmm.
And there are a number of scientists that agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
You've been injected with something artificial that's now giving instructions to your body. Who says that's what the message is? You don't know what that mm-hmm. thing is. That's why we're called deaf, dumb, and blind.
That's right. Come on.
How do you know what's in this thing that's being shot in you? You don't have the slightest idea.
Not a clue.
That's what it is.
That's right.
Oh my God.
Sister Ava, one more thing before I go.
Totally, that's what killed DMX. I totally believe it.
His family said it. One more thing before I go.
I believe it.
Yes, ma'am.
But go ahead. One more comment.
I'll let you go. My brother is a retired Navy pilot. He flies for American right now. He told me that 60% of the Marines are not taking the vaccine. See, 60% of them. He said most of the military, they're not taking it. I talked to him about 3 days ago.
They know the wickedness.
That's right. He's not taking it.
Military people, the health care workers, the people that know what this country's about.
That's right.
And the people that are, here's the frontline workers in COVID, and they won't take a vaccine. But we're deaf, dumb, and blind. We have to be. But anyway, thank you so much, Brother Will, for your contribution.
Thank you. May Allah bless. I'm late.
You as well. Walaikum salam. And we have our dear brother Cartier on the separation team. Assalamu alaikum. Ramadan Mubarak.
Walaikum salam. Ramadan Kareem, Sister Ava.
Yes, sir. Good to have you on.
Yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah. I just wanted to, first I got to wish Sister Rona happy birthday. I don't know if she's still.
Oh,
I was listening to the call, but if she is, happy birthday to you, sister. May Allah bless you with many more. I wanted to just touch on something that hit me that Brother Terrence said earlier about making our communities a decent and safe place to live, and that transcending we usually limit that to just being the gun violence or the senseless crime, but there's so many. There's such a holistic approach that we have to take to doing that. And one of the things that I thought that came to my mind when he said that was the necessity for us to start trying to organize in a meaningful way to provide some of our basic necessities through these institutions that have been failing the societies that we live in. And I think COVID has really manifested that in regards to the educational institutions. And I'll say this from the perspective of law enforcement, most of the time, if not all of the time, I'm going to hang on a part of above 90%. When we run in contact or come in contact with our brothers that have lost their way and they're out here in that lifestyle, that gang lifestyle, gun violence and whatever, it's really after those other pivotal institutions have completely failed them. It's not we catching it on the back end. So the police, this police reform push that's being done is so reactive, and it's so revealing of our reactive behavior as opposed to proactive behavior. The police reform can be limited to just a regular, simplistic analysis of what's taking place. White police officers are killing black men. It's as simple as that. If you look at all the cases that's been taking place, it's been one specific demographic doing it to another specific demographic. So, I mean, if you can analyze data, you should be able to look at that and say, okay, well, this is how we're going to solve this. Keep the white boys out, and we take the point on policing our communities. But I just wanted to stress the necessity now for us as black people to be involved in producing these institutions, these important institutions that hold the fabric of a community together, educational, financial, medical, agriculture, all of these institutions are what make a community. And if you have an over-reliance on the government for any one of those institutions,
right,
much less all of those institutions, some of the stuff, man, we be getting called for, you know, can you tell my neighbor to cut his music down? Like, man, you can't go knock on your neighbor's door and tell your neighbor to cut the music down. But it's been our over-reliance on the government to provide certain necessities of ours that we immediately jump to that point. So I wanted to segue that into the special meeting that we're having Tuesday with the sisters.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say just sisters, but with the Georgia Freedom Initiative, Sister Renee Walters as the president and Sister Ashley Scott as the vice president, who are going to be the guests. People may not know the name, but it's the 19 families that bought the land in Mississippi with the intention of developing it into a black community, a black-owned, operated, and controlled community. I'm sorry, yes, ma'am, in Georgia, excuse me, in Georgia. Wilmington County, Georgia, just right outside of Toomsboro, an unincorporated Wilmington County. And what they plan on doing is what we going back post that pre that Reconstruction period, where we were just emancipated from slavery, and we went out and started with no desire to be around white people. We're preoccupied with, as Sister Ava said, building our own promised land, building a better community, a better future, a better reality for ourselves. And I'm thinking now, what Allah has manifested with this COVID experience in relation also to what's been manifested in regards to police and the demonstrations that's coming out of that, has shown that there's precedence or there's a necessity now for us to get back to that. It's shown that, and I think that those of us who have been looking but may not have necessarily known the right direction to go, when we're now collaborating with each other to iron that out, to figure out now, man, how are we going to do this? And these sisters, I don't want us to sleep on the severity of what's being done, because it's not just them. It's a mindset that's been incubating, I believe, for a long time, but now people that are moving out on it are almost like little, and they'll tell you, man, they said, man, we hope that it's not just us that do this, but we hope that we have several sister cities that are established from the same perspective as ours, that, hey, black people, man, we need to start providing these necessities. And local and municipal government is the foundation of society in our immediate lives, not federal government, but local, municipal, county,
politics,
and state government
local.
Has a lot.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. And what better way to do that than being at the forefront, being the foremost policy objector for whatever municipal government you want to set up. So, and these sisters have walked that step, are in the phase now of making that happen. So that's what they're going to come and bring to our platform, the believers and sympathizers of the Nation of Islam, which I believe is the preliminary step towards a full and complete separation. But first, we got to learn how to run a society, how to govern a society. And I think that's one of the ways that we can do that. So I definitely look forward to having them on and having them answer some very specific questions, just so that we can start getting thought generated in the right direction that's going to cause people to do and to want to be active and say, hey, man, we can do this. Let's get together. Let's buy this up, and let's start establishing this where we are.
it's the best and only solution, because you just very flawlessly laid it all out. It's the current problem is this over-reliance on governmental intervention in our affairs. Instead of having God intervene in our affairs, we call the white man to intervene in our affairs. And this is how our children get snatched out of our homes. This is, like you said, you calling somebody, the police, to, because of a dispute over music, a dispute over a parking space. You know, we had a 22-month-old baby here in Chicago who's permanently brain damaged because his father and another brother got in a road rage argument.
Mm.
Both of them had guns.
Mm.
And the man shot through the back window and hit this baby in the head, and he survived. Then a seven-year-old girl, 7 years old, in a McDonald's drive-thru with her father, and somebody fires into the automobile and just riddles her little body with bullets. She's dead. Seven.
Mm.
We're talking about seven-year-olds, 22-month-olds.
I'll
because
never forget.
We got a beast running through the countryside, and we've been made savages because we imitate their behavior.
That's right.
But go ahead,
that's
beloved.
Right. I was just going to say, I'll never. I had that experience as a first responder on a call where we had shots fired, and I'll never forget this day, man. I'll never forget it because I have children, and it was an 11-year-old girl. And he's a child himself, man. His name, I don't know his name, but he's like 18 years old. We picked him up, and for charges. But you know, he shot into this house, and I'm the first one there, and the image of a baby. I mean, it's too graphic to even. I can't even describe
oh,
it. But
goodness.
The image of that, you know, I saw this sister's face for months in my sleep. And it's just the innocence of a child, you know, to see that, the innocence of a child, it shows how important it is that we are not, that we are successful in this. Because it was on the other end of that, it was a child. That the society has failed that perpetrated that sort of a crime. Now you gotta, and this 11-year-old girl lost her life on her birthday. Her legs were still in the folded Indian position. She was at the computer, see, and this is another baby that's shooting into the house, not even cognizant of, I got beef with this dude. I know he lives here, but you have multiple children in that house, see. And when this little girl, when I witnessed that, the lifeless eye of an innocent child, see, it and a lot of our people don't see that, you know, a lot of our people aren't. And by people, I mean those of us who feel that we should stay here, see, and continue to lead not only our children's lives but our unborn children's lives in the hands of an open enemy. But that's a trauma. That traumatizes an entire community. The little boy that we spoke to that was a perpetrator, when I looked in his eye, man, he was traumatized. When we interrogated him on that, he was traumatized, man. He couldn't believe that he had done it. See?
That he had done that.
But it's there's so many levels, man. There's so many intricate levels to what has to happen. See? There's so many intricate levels to what has to happen, and we need all hands on deck for it.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, this is going
to
be
Tuesday
night.
I'm sorry,
that was
graphic. I didn't mean to be too.
No. We need to
That's
know.
Real.
I'm sorry about the noise. We need to know the reality of this.
That's right.
Because these are our people, countless bodies of a living person who's under the ground.
Dude.
You know, who's never going to come back. And the question is, how long is it going to go on? How long are we going to let it go on?
Well, this is it.
You're right. We need all hands. All this laziness. Yeah, we got to stop sitting around, laying around, shopping.
That's right.
Foolish, looking at TV.
That's right. That's right.
Yes, sir. So that's Tuesday night, and we're going to be posting the Zoom link on all of our social media outlets, our individual Facebook pages and Instagram and all that, and everywhere. You're not going to miss the connection. But
that's
it's
right.
Tuesday night, 7 Central, 8 Eastern. Building our promised land. And this is no academic class. These are people who did it.
That's right.
And they're looking
not
for
theory.
Us to join them. It's not theory.
Right.
This is practice.
Practical. That's right.
That's right.
And I mean, it is straight from message to the black man. Pull your resources.
Your resources.
You know? And they pulled the resources, found the land. And what Brother Cartier is so very critical, and the minister talked about this. He talked about us going and moving to wherever we want to be and taking over the government. And we get on the government and we control the local politics. And if COVID showed us nothing, that politics is based off who's controlling your city, in your state, and the federal. Because during COVID, everybody was doing different things about what was best for them and what they felt was best for their community. So the federal didn't have no say about your COVID regulations, and your state were trying to do their state regulations and whatever was going on, but people was determining for themselves. And once we get in a position with the population and we populate a particular area, we'll run that politics. And
we'll
determine
that.
With the money and the resources that come in if we want it to be federal dollars. But even if it wasn't federal dollars, just the fact that we're populating and spending amongst our own self, like other people do, like the Asians do, they have Chinatown. They don't have to worry about nobody
right.
else. They,
we won't need anybody.
They, that's
Let
the reality.
The sister said this, and I'm gonna just drop this in here because I want to add this as one of the questions just to lay on our brains. But you talk about federal dollars. See, what you put into the government, that's the purpose of politics, to get those resources back, to push whatever vision that you have. That's the purpose of your representatives. Now, they said this. Right now, the United States representatives and the United States, the House of Representatives, rather, and the Senate are currently looking at reparations, see? And they said, this was a suggestion that a prediction that she made, and I agree with her. She said, as we move on this endeavor, those that have established these black cities or black communities as directly out of racial trauma, see, you'll put yourself in a position. You say this all the time, Sister Ava. Reparations is not given to people. It's given to governments. And now you have something with local government, you have something in place to hold your hand out. So you can't be denied. See, the devil can deny you and
say,
we don't have no, we ain't giving no, we ain't got no, you know, we ain't, you weren't no slave. You know how they come, see? But when you got when you got local coffers, government coffers that you, no, man.
That's right.
You owe us, man. Put it in this. Get a couple hundred billion,
that's
man,
right.
and allocate it to these cities. To these grants, like they're giving
right.
the Chinese right now for Chinatown for the violence that they've been dealing with in regards to this COVID stuff with people attacking them. But they have something in place.
That's
they
right.
have a, they have a,
that's
I forget
right.
what you call that. But they have something in place to catch that. And we got to have something in place
right.
so that when we make our demand, it can be caught. See, but she said that on the
yeah.
call of what, and that's where her mind was going. And I want to even pick at that a little bit. Because they're giving
out
checks.
That's exactly right. Governments, sovereignties. You know, they don't pay out reparations. It's not everybody gets a check in the mail, and that's why we're made mockery of. And you just said
that's right.
It. When it's individualized like that, it opens the door for those types of idiotic comments. You weren't a slave. And then they, the white people bring it down to their individual self. I never owned any slaves.
That's right.
It's the U.S. government that owes this debt. And so the U.S. government needs to pay the black government.
That's right.
For what was done that has never been rectified. But no, we're never going to get it. And COVID did show, as I talked about many times, this is not a true nation. It's a political union of 50 sovereign states.
That's right.
That have borders. They each have a flag. They have a constitution. They decide all matters pertaining to health, education, welfare, and business within their boundaries. You don't get a driver's license from Washington, D.C. If you live in North Carolina, you got a North Carolina driver's license.
Yes,
and there's recognition between the states, reciprocity and recognition. So Georgia recognizes Mississippi's sovereignty. And you can travel through there. That's the role of the federal government, is on matters where it benefits us to have things like interstate highways.
Mm.
So everybody pitches in. That's the concept of the federal tax. Everybody pitches in to pay for the defense. So that's what we will do. And I'm so glad. See, you start with a city, then sister cities. And then the safe haven becomes broader and broader. But even when you venture outside of it, trust and believe, people handle you differently when they know you have a home.
That's right.
And a family. We're looked
That's right.
at as 40 to 60 million wandering individuals.
That's
by
it.
Them.
Vagabonds. That's it.
Vagabonds. But when we start building these towns, as is happening now, and that's not the only place where this is happening, as we know, but that's what we were told, Allah, by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Allah will make you separate. And this vaccination, that's going to be the proverbial straw that breaks the camel's back. That, along with these police murders, as Sister Pamela said, and you just said it too, Brother Cartier, it's not about police and civilian. It's not about training. It's about one demographic killing the other. And that's what Thomas Jefferson said. He said, if they don't separate, ultimately one will exterminate the other. So be ready for us on Tuesday. So we're counting down, but I've got to hear from my brother, the great separator. I know he's loving this conversation. Brother Louis Ali, yes.
As-salamu alaykum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Ramadan Mubarak. How y'all doing?
Ramadan Kareem.
Ramadan Kareem.
Dr. Ava, I am very much enjoying the show. Brother Cartier, y'all are really on point. And I know you just have a few minutes, but one of the things I thought about is on page 172 of Message to the Black Man, where the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, put the Muslim program before Congress. And he talks about, he said that the members of the black nation who refuse to believe and submit to the truth will be burdened with overwhelming grief and hounded by bitter regret. They will find no relief, nor rest, day or night. And so Allah is making us separate now, Dr. Mm-hmm. Amos. And I heard someone say that the future is women. But what kind of women? I heard Sister Pam 3 weeks ago talk about how much she loved the black man, her brother, her uncle, her cousin, black men. And I heard Sister Donna, she was getting ready to get out and fight the police with the black man. And
that's
I don't
right.
know if we really understand, Dr. Ava, how much it has helped shift the culture because of your stand with these town hall meetings on separation. All black people are going to be talking about separation in a minute. And we're going to rebuild the wasted cities, and we're going to make historically black business and cultural districts great again. So I called in to thank you and thank the black woman for lifting up the black men and putting us back on post so that we can build something that'll make our people proud of us again. So thank you, and may Allah bless you with a successful Ramadan. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Excellent call.
And Sister
yes,
Ava, if I could say, I
yes,
have to
ma'am.
Add to Brother Lewis.
I was
going to
ask you to make some closing comments. Yeah, I was going to ask
And what I wanted to say is that my love for the black man, I got to include my husband, Brother Terrence Muhammad, because he is an awesome black man as well. So we thank Allah for these wonderful husbands, these FOIs that the Honorable Minister
And be very clear, time. Very clear. There's a different Terrence Muhammad. Different Terrence.
I know.
Muhammad.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a different
Terrence L. Muhammad out of Houston.
There you go. There you go.
Yes, sir. Yes.
No scandal.
But, you know,
please.
But Sister Ava, I just agree with so much of what's been said tonight. Everything, of course, on the elevated places is so enlightening and empowering and making our own communities decent and safe places to live. It actually extends perfectly to this program with our children, because so many times we can add a helping hand to a mother. We can maybe buy that extra loaf of bread or, you know, give a cookie, you know, and actually getting to know women in the community who may need a little assistance, even if it's talking to or advice. So I definitely believe that this is the work of the MGT and black women all over this country. So, yes, ma'am. Because that's prevention.
Great.
Prior to the system getting snatching our children, we prevent the need and protect them. Thank you.
That's it. That's it. We have to close ranks, circle the wagons.
Hmm.
You know, when you think about Tulsa, and this is the 100th year since the destruction of the Greenwood
That's right.
community, the massacre of our people. Those are our people.
That's right.
In 1921. And they had everything they needed, and they were happy and they were peaceful, and these people couldn't take it. Satan couldn't stand it. And so the first time anything resembling a weapon was dropped from an airplane was these prop planes flown over the Greenwood section of Tulsa. And if you go and look, pull up the separation plenary session from Savior's Day, you will see the powerful but disturbing documentaries about what they did to us. And trust and believe Allah is going to make them pay. And I thank my co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad, our executive producer, and happy birthday again. And by the way, it's also my sister Lori. It's her birthday too. And so my youngest sister, happy birthday, Lori, who is celebrating her birthday in Cancun with her husband Calvin. And I also want to thank our attorney, our legal contributor, Sister Pamela Muhammad, and all of our wonderful listeners and those who log in on Thursday nights to Elevated Places. Brother Cartier, thank you so much for organizing this presentation on Tuesday night. It will be the special presentation of the Elevated Places Network on building our promised land. Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 Eastern. You will get the link. You'll see it all over social media in the next couple of days. May Allah bless us all with love and the light of understanding. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.